the first story, the African story, I'm going to sing a song that my great-grandmother used to sing to me and to anyone else who would listen. Usually she sang the song when someone had upset her, made her angry or mistreated her. And that was because they tell me at one time my great-grandmother was a real hell raiser. But then she found the Lord. And afterwards, rather than cussing someone out or punching them in the mouth, she would sing this song. I'm going to ask you to join me if you know it. And if you don't know it and you pick it up, you can still join.
I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed, Lord. I know I've been changed. I tell you that the angels in heaven done sign my name. I know I've been changed. Let me tell you, I know I've been changed. Yeah, I know I've been changed. You know the angels in heaven done sign my name. If you don't believe I've been redeemed, the angels in heaven done sign my name. Just follow me down to the Jordan stream. The angels in heaven done sign my name. I said, no, I've been changed. I know I've been changed. Yeah, I know I've been changed. You know that the angels in heaven done sign my name.
Thank you. The first story that I'm going to tell you is an African story. And it goes like this. Once upon a time, the elephant made friends with a man. The man was real excited because he was in the minority. And he wanted to be friends with other animals as well. He thought perhaps that the elephant would be the one to open the door for him to become friends with the other animals. The friendship went along very well until one day there was a heavy, heavy thunderstorm. The elephant rushed to the hut of the man at the edge of the forest and said, "Oh, man. Oh, Mr. Man, please, please, let me put my trunk in your hut. If you don't let me put my trunk in your hut, it is going to be destroyed from these torrential rains." Now, the man didn't have but a little bit of room in his hut. But he wanted to be friends. So he said, "Okay, elephant, put your trunk in. There's just enough room for me and your trunk." The elephant said, "Oh, thank you, man. You have done a good deed. And I'm going to repay you for long, not only put his trunk in the hut, but he pushed his head in too. And the next thing he did was to take the man in his trunk, and he threw the man out of his own hut. After which time, he laid his whole body down and made himself very comfortable. He then said to the man, "You know, your skin is tougher than mine, so you can stay out in the rain." Well, as the man was picking himself up from the ground and shaking his head, which was in pain, he became very angry. And he started to grumble. "Put me out of my hood. Kind of stuff is this? Now you know this ain't right." Well, as in every neighborhood, when there's some trouble going on, everybody wants to know what it's all about. So the animals rushed over to where this debate was taking place, and they stood around. A crowd gathered, and the grumbling went on. "We gonna do something about this now. Right now." The grumbling got louder and louder. During this turmoil, the lion, the king of the jungle, made his way through the crowd. "Don't you know that I'm king of the jungle? And I don't want any peace disturbance in my kingdom. Thank you very much." Now, the elephant was a very smooth operator. And in his most smooth voice, he said, "Oh, King Lion, my lord, no one is disturbing the peace in your kingdom. No one. Why, I was just having a discussion with my friend about the possession of this hut, which you can plainly see that I am occupying." The lion said, "Well, what seems to be the trouble?" The man said, "Well, I..." The lion, "Wait, wait. We want peace here. And in order to show my fairness, we are going to assemble a commission of inquiry." He then turned to the man and looked him square in the eye. And he said, "You have done well to make friends with my people, the animals, especially the elephant, who is one of my most trusted ministers of state." Now, don't you grumble anymore, because we're going to have a commission that's going to decide on this matter. You haven't lost your hut, and I think you'll be pretty pleased with the outcome of the decision." Now, the man was already feeling a little bit pleased just from hearing the sweet words of the lion. Sweet words reassuring words. The elephant, who wanted to be obedient to the lion, quickly got the other animals together, and they assembled the Commission of Inquiry. Now, the elder animals that served on that commission were Mr. Rhinoceros, Mr. Buffalo, Mr. Alligator, and Mr. Hyena. The Right Honorable Mr. Fox was the chairperson. And Mr. Leopard was appointed to serve as the secretary. The first person to testify was the Right Honorable Mr. Elephant, the smooth Mr. Elephant. I don't want to waste your time. Everybody has a pretty good idea about what happened, Mr. Elephant said. You know that I am a compassionate elephant. You know me. And you know I've always thought it was my duty to protect my friends and to look out for their best interest. Now, the man was feeling that he was being treated unfair. He said, just a minute, please, please. Now, the elephant is going to testify. And there's no men on this commission. Don't you think some of my people should be on this commission? They looked at him as if he had totally lost his mind. And they said, well, no, this is impossible. Men can't be on this commission. They're not educated in the intricacies of jungle law. And besides, we were chosen by God to look after those of you who are less endowed with teeth and claws. It's impossible. Now sit down. The man sat down. The elephant continued. This is the story, the elephant said. The hurricane was about to take over the hut, being that it was unoccupied. I, feeling so much compassion for my friend here, the man, thought that in order to save the hut, I had better occupy it. And sure enough, I saved it, just like any one of you would have done under the same circumstances. They then called the hyena and the rhinoceros, who spoke very highly of the elephant. And after every animal had been called to testify, they told the man to come and state his case. He said, this ain't right. This ain't right. And as he was about to say something else, the lion got up and said, well, I think we've heard ample testimony from both sides. And I think that now we must retire so that we can make our decision. The man said, What? We must retire. You've said enough. And what you said was irrelevant. Well, they retired and ate a most wonderful meal, courtesy of the Right Honorable Mr. Elephant. And after the meal, they came back and announced that a decision had been made. The lion said to the man,
"Well, we made a decision. It seems like there's been a terrible misunderstanding due to your backwardness. But we're fair here in the jungle. So we're going to compromise. Mr. Elephant will remain the occupant in your hut. But you are free to go and build another hut somewhere else. And you will be protected."
Well, now, the man followed their suggestion because he did not want to be clawed, and he did not want anyone to bite him. And they had already informed him that in that area of teeth and claw, they were superior. So he built another hut. And when he did, Mr. Rhinoceros, with his one horn self, went barging in there and put him out. Another commission of inquiry was formed with the same outcome. Well, I tell you, he kept building huts, and the animals kept taking them over. Until one day, the man decided, "They've been tricking me. But you can only trick a person for so long. And I'm gonna get them now." Well, he waited until all of the huts became run down and in disrepair. And early one morning, he went out and he began to build the largest hut that anyone had ever seen. By the next day, it was completed. Well, Mr. Rhinoceros saw it, and he ran over to live in this new hut, only to find that Mr. Elephant was already there fast asleep. Now the hyena came in through the window, as did some of the other animals. But Mr. Fox, being very dignified, just walked right through the door. Now, when they had all gathered there, they began to argue about space.
"This is my space. I was here first."
And smooth, Mr. Elephant said, "Now, I think that you all should leave, because this place belongs to me." Well, they argued and argued, and then they began to fight. And as they were fighting, Mr. Man went and got himself some fire. And he set the hut on fire with all of the commission in it. And he said, "It's a high price you have to pay for peace." Now, he would have lived happily ever after. But then he made friends with other men. And he formed his own commission of inquiry.
Thank you. I have heard this story in an Italian version. I've heard it in a Native American version. And I've heard it in an African American version. The first version I heard was Italian. And since we are being multicultural, I'm going to tell it in my Italian dialect. A young lady came home one day, just ecstatic. She said, "Papa, Papa, I'm engaged." Papa was reading the paper, didn't pay too much attention. She said, "Papa, Papa, I'm engaged, I'm engaged." Papa looked up from the paper. He said, "Who are you engaged to?" She said, "I'm going to marry Johnny, Johnny Figueroa down the street." He said, "Shut up, you, ma. You can't marry Johnny. Johnny's your brother." She returned the ring to Johnny. But this was a very beautiful girl, and it wasn't long before she was engaged again. And she ran home with the same excitement in her voice and said, "Papa, Papa, I'm engaged again." Well, Papa was already feeling leery about this now. He said, "Who are you engaged to now?" She says, "I'm gonna marry Tonio. Tonio that lives around the corner." Papa said, "Shut your mouth. You can't marry Tonio. Tonio's your brother." She took the ring back to Tonio. That night, at the dinner table, Mama had fixed her favorite pasta, but she wasn't eating. Mama said, "What's the matter for you? I fix your favorite food, and you no eat? What's you sick?" She said, "Papa, it's a papa. Papa's a everybody's a papa. I was gonna marry Johnny. Johnny's a papa's son. I was gonna marry Tonio. Tonio's a papa's son too. Mama, I can't get married to nobody because everybody's a papa's son." Her mother looked at her and put her arm around her shoulder. She said, "Oh, sweet baby, eat your food. Don't worry. You can marry Johnny, you can marry Tonio, because Papa's not your papa." So as they said in the musical Ain't Misbehavin', one never knows, do one? I'd like to leave you with this story that I heard from Fannie Lou Hamer, who was a civil rights activist who integrated the Southern White Democratic delegation, who founded a freedom co-op where poor people could grow their own crops, and sell them and become self-sufficient. She was a wonderful woman who fought for the right to vote in Ruleville, Mississippi. And she tells the story of an old man who was very, very wise and two little boys who were very, very otherwise. Every day they would go and talk to this man, and he had all the answers to everything. Of course, after a while, it got on their nerves. They went away one day and they said, I can't stand that old man. Think he know everything. Well, one of the young men said, well, I bet you we could trick him, because he is old. He can't know everything. The other boy said, well, I don't know how we're going to trick him. He's just too smart. The first boy said, I know what we're going to do. We're going to go out here and catch ourselves a bird. And we're going to put it in our hand. And we'll go up to this old man and say, hey, old man. You see this bird in our hand? Is it dead or is it alive? If he say it's dead, we gonna open our hand and let it fly. If he say it's alive, we gonna crush it and kill it. He'll be wrong either way. I can't wait to see his face. Well, it took a while, but they got the bird, and they went up to the porch, and they were just a giggling and a laughing. They just couldn't stand it. It was so funny. They couldn't wait to see this old man's face when he said, I don't know, or it's dead, or it's alive, and they could make him wrong. They looked at the old man and said, hey, old man. We got a bird, and it's in my hand. Is it dead? Or is it alive? The old man rocked back and forth and smiled and patted his foot. Took his time to answer. He looked at him. He said, children, is in your hand.